Welcome to Better Together, a Vaishnava family podcast.
A podcast where we explore family life from a bhakti yoga perspective. We are your hosts. I'm Aksh.
And I'm Gopika. Welcome to episode 19. The Power of Play. How a Lama Helped Us with Picky Eating. Okay, I've mentioned several times on the podcast that we have gone through bouts of selective eating, picky eating, and recently we went through, I would say, possibly the most difficult one, to the point where our son wasn't even wanting to eat plain rice, which was a great staple safety item.
Yeah.
And I was feeling really, really super, super stressed about it. Really super stressed.
So why? Why is eating such an area of stress and concern?
When I reflected on it, I realized that I have a history with picky eating when I was a young child. I do have some memories of really being unhappy around food, and I would be just sitting at the table, and I just remember the feeling of a ball of food, not even knowing what it was, just stuffed into my mouth. And of course, let me just caveat with this. I'm not blaming my caretakers in any way because I know they were trying their best, and I totally understand how difficult it can be when your child is not eating properly. But yeah, when we were expecting our first child, I was really gung-ho on
not
repeating that. So I did so much research, and during COVID was the boom of parenting education on Instagram. And so there were a lot of accounts I started following, and I started learning, and I bought some books, and I was convinced that this baby-led weaning, this idea that children can just be given autonomy at the table to eat what we eat, maybe in slightly modified forms, can actually help them be set up for really healthy, positive relationships with food and eating habits. So I was like, this is it. Yeah. This is the golden key.
Yeah.
This is the solution. My kids are going to be great eaters and I'm going to have no problems.
Well, in the beginning, it was also going really well, right?
It was. I mean, first they were like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I think like the first response when we were doing baby-led weaning, and I put literally a plate with roti and sabji and dal in front of our seven-month-old, they're like, wait, you're not blending up stuff and feeding them with a spoon? And I was like, no, I'm doing baby-led weaning. And I was so proud of myself. And yeah, he did great. But once toddlerhood hit, it got really tough, despite having done baby-led weaning. I mean, was eating ever a concern for you? I don't feel like I've ever talked to you about this.
I've always been a little bit also stuck in my kind of comfort food items, if you will, even growing up. Like, I took peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for lunch.
Yeah.
I think every single day of my grade school life.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, to this day, I think I have things that I prefer and I like, and I definitely like.
Of course, we all do. Them. Nobody eats everything and nobody loves everything. I feel like that's rare, but just, I think for me, I want our kids to have a really good relationship with food. Meaning it's not attached to any sort of part of their identity, self-image, self-esteem, and that they trust their bodies and their body cues, which can be hard to do if, like, you don't have control over that. Yeah, like, I think I just wanted our children to have a positive and healthy relationship with food where if we go out, they can find some way to fill their tummy, you know? So they don't have to eat everything, but something that they can manage to not go hungry. That's why when our son stopped eating plain rice, I really started to freak out. Like, are we getting into picky eating? I was really in turmoil over it.
For me, the other part, maybe other parents can relate too, is kind of like frustration and annoyance when kids don't eat and that makes their behavior worse.
Yeah.
Because they're hungry.
Oh my gosh.
And the thing is, you know, and sometimes they know that it's going to be worse when they don't eat. And so you're really trying to get something into their body to help them.
Yeah.
But they just keep doing the same thing to make it worse for themselves. And that's just really frustrating.
When your nervous system is maxed out and your patience, tolerance, capability is maxed out. When your child is not eating, like, I find it difficult not to spiral into worst case scenario of, oh my God, what sorts of meltdowns, lack of cooperation, unreasonableness am I now going to face and have to manage? And where am I going to find the strength to show up as a kind, compassionate mother, even though I'm totally exhausted and done? And it would just be better if you ate.
Sure.
And it's that conflict, because you really want them to have the responsibility and the experience of tuning into their own body, which means you have to let go of it. But then it's also like, oh my gosh, I just don't have it within me to withstand a hunger meltdown.
Yeah.
So it's really tricky. But anyway, Krishna sent us a miracle through this llama.
What happened here?
Basically, in the month of February, the OT clinic our son is at had a play challenge. And the challenge was to set super intentional time daily playing with your child. I think we decided that we're going to really go in on this challenge and commit to it. And I started to dedicate some time with our son daily, mostly after dinner, for at least 20 minutes. And at the time, this play had no agenda. One of these days, he got out his barn and all his animals, and we were like really getting into just like playing with the animals and setting up their barn, and like we would do things for the animals. So we played this for a couple of days, and one of these days, he was trying to feed the animals lunch, and I was like, hold on a second. What if I try to use this to my advantage here? Yeah. There was this llama, and I started playing this character of the llama being like, no, I don't want to eat. And like, somehow my son started just like making these beeping noises. He just started going beep, beep, beep. And so then I was like, oh my goodness. The llama's beeping because the llama's only been eating plain cars, because the llama's just having trouble eating anything else and only eats plain cars. And that's why it's just making this beeping noise. And just like doubled down in giggles, found this hilarious, and was like beep, beep, beep all over the house. And we were like, oh my God, the llama's only eating plain cars. And FYI, at the time, my son was only eating plain roti. That's all he was eating during that phase. This story kind of took off, and every day, this beeping llama, he would come back into our play, and we would talk about the llama and what can we do to help this llama eat something new. And we started pretend cooking things and trying to feed the llama. And I would ask our son, like, well, what do you think can help the llama try something new? What do you think we can say to the llama? Our son just started responding to the llama, saying, oh, you have to try it. Maybe you'll like it. And you need to be brave, and I'll do it. And I kind of started egging that on, like, well, I can you show me how to be brave? That's my llama voice, FYI. Debuting it to the podcast world. If you hear me talking like, la, 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 la. That's the llama, all right? So it's just started evolving, and he started actually bringing in meals that were challenging into play. For example, Thai curry was something that I made that he really did not want to touch a grain of, but we played the story of making Thai curry for the llama, and then the next day he tried a spoon of it. And slowly, 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 using this method, we do this whole show where the llama starts freaking out and we'll throw the llama on the floor, and the llama's like tantruming around about this new food.
Yeah.
This llama doesn't listen to anybody in the house
except
Kishore. And miraculously, it's really helped to open up Kishore again to most foods. I mean, I would say that he's eating most foods that he stopped eating before.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, thanks for sharing the details of the story, because most of your play was in his room behind closed doors, so I actually didn't know the
didn't
specifics.
Didn't know, like, what was happening.
Going on. I would hear the beep beep, and then the beep beep came out outside and in the kitchen. And obviously, I caught on to what we were doing there. But I mean, for me, I think it's also interesting because there's something about, like, being indirect in this, right?
Yeah.
It's almost like the llama was this alter ego of his that's, like, manifesting that fear.
Yeah.
And it separates the fear in him to this thing. And
yeah.
he gets to see the fear almost at a distance, objectively. and he can talk to it. I guess you could say it's like taking his mind and like personalizing
yeah.
it. And then he's able to talk to it, engage with it.
I totally agree with your point. I heard a podcast lately where they were talking about this topic of play in children. And the child psychologist on the podcast was sharing that children actually use play as a way of processing life events. Mm-hmm. But sometimes, because of the way their brain is developing, children can literally not engage with something or express an emotion or express a feeling if it's direct. Mm-hmm. So if you were to ask a child directly, what's going on? Why don't you want to eat this? Or like, why are you scared of it? Like, if you just try to have a direct conversation, they just cannot engage with that. Mm. If it's through play, then all of a sudden they can. Yeah. They can express feelings. They can express thoughts. They can articulate things. And I feel like we found this magical thing through play to this challenge. And I feel like it's evolved in even more of a beautiful way. He's stepped into this role of responsibility for the llama to the point where he helps to prepare food that's new and unfamiliar. The whole story is that, oh, maybe if we show the llama how we're making this new food, the llama might be more comfortable and open to trying it.
Yeah.
And he's learning how to make all these things. Today, he literally made our khichdi with supervision, of course. And then he ate the khichdi, right, for lunch. Yeah. So it's, I think this whole experience has really made a powerful impression upon me about the importance of play. And it's not just something that's cool to do with your kids, but it's necessary. I mean, what struck you about play and the role it has from this whole experience?
Yeah, I mean, it's such an amazing way to process what's going on more objectively. I think what I've found also is that the play has to be playful, you know, because I do sometimes catch myself almost trying to use the llama.
Yeah.
But in a frustrated sense.
Yeah, there's too much of an agenda.
Yeah, trying to push the llama.
Yeah.
Then it loses that efficacy. So it has to be done in a playful way, in a way that feels organic, you know, the way you described. So I think how it's done matters.
Yeah.
And for me also, you know, using play to kind of work through situations requires a certain creativity and also certain energy that comes harder to me. I can see my son actually needs this and it works so well, yet I feel a little bit like almost inadequate, like my personality doesn't lend very well to it. I'm also realizing that I have to be in a really good state.
Yeah.
Like if I'm stressed out, then I'm not going to really play effectively.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Yeah.
No, I totally hear what you're saying. And I resonate with so much of the challenge that you raise about it's really hard to be present with your kid when you're just working so hard all the time. Because I sometimes feel like I'm just like looking for the spaces where I can zone out and turn off.
Yeah.
Like, when can I not be responsible for anyone? And when can I not have to respond to anyone? I'm just scanning for minutes in my day where I can do that. And when you're playing with your kid, it requires so much presence, which I feel like is a muscle.
Mm.
And that's something that I appreciated about this challenge, because I feel like it forced me to start off with those 15 minutes daily. And then it got a little bit easier and easier and easier. And I was just thinking about how, wow, like in some ways, play is kind of like meditation. You know?
Oh, it's wonderful.
You have to be present.
Yeah.
There are lots of things coming into your mind like, oh gosh, we gotta do this. We gotta do this. The mind almost chatters in the same way that it does when you're doing japa or mantra meditation.
Yeah.
Having to gently turn those other thoughts away and really be there with your child without your phone, without technology. It's hard. It's really training that presence. And I think that's where the magic is, when they feel that presence.
Yeah.
Kind of similar to japa. Like you feel the magic of japa when you can actually lock in.
Yeah.
And you're in tune with that connection. I think it's like the same thing with our kids, that they're looking for that from us.
Yeah.
I've had a hard time with doing that, honestly. That's why it's kind of like I avoid the play, or honestly, I have my own agenda for play. Because sometimes, to be honest, I don't want to play the way that my kid is playing. There was a period of time where our kid just wanted to sit in my little closet. And no, I do not have a walk-in closet that's spacious and lovely. And some closets are really relaxing to sit in. My closet is not that. It's small. Hint, hint, hint.
Yes.
Submitting my complaint to the director of maintenance of the household. It has a broken door.
Director of maintenance includes everything.
Anyway, my point being, like, it was really hard to just sit there in the closet and, I don't know, play whatever my son was playing. It can be really hard to play, especially when your interests are not aligned. Sometimes it feels so banal.
Yeah.
But I began to really enjoy it more once I started just leaning into that presence. It just took some time to work on it, and I'm still working on it.
I really like this analogy of a muscle and connecting it to meditation also. Anything from bhakti wisdom that you think is supporting this idea of play?
I mean, Krishna loves to play.
Yeah.
I remember Mother Krishna Nandini specifically saying this at a retreat. Isn't it amazing that God could choose to do and be anything, but he chose to be a cowherd boy in a village and play all day?
Yeah, I always love that point. Sometimes the concept of God that people have is, you know, the designer of the universe.
Yeah.
Administrator, someone who's judging and giving punishments and tracking everything, so to say. And
yeah.
But the concept of Krishna as God is someone who's delegated all of that to other people.
So he can play.
So he can just hang out. Yeah.
Yeah. And I also think that points to the profoundness of play and how powerful that experience of playing can be.
Yeah.
Right. Not just for children, but for adults.
Mm-hmm.
The ability for play to restore, to recharge, to nourish, to foster a relationship.
Yeah.
It's not just entertaining kids and being busy. It's so much deeper than that.
Yeah.
And I feel like the fact that God himself embodies play, it helps me feel motivated in continuing to work on my own ability to really play with my kids.
Yeah. I came across this. It's from Krishna book, and it's the description of when Krishna is sitting with his friends and they open their lunch boxes. So sitting down on the ground and keeping Krishna in the center, they began to open their lunch boxes brought from home. Lord Krishna was seated in the center of the circle, and all the boys kept their faces toward him. They ate and constantly enjoyed seeing the Lord face to face. So there's that physical kind of element. While taking lunch, each boy began to manifest different kinds of relations with Krishna, and they enjoyed each other's company with joking words. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who accepts the results of all great sacrifices, was laughing and joking, enjoying lunch with his friends in Vrindavan. As for the boys, they were simply enjoying transcendental bliss in the company of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I guess, I don't know, this just came to me, interesting connection, because there's this idea of like just keeping like situations playful, right? And we think of Krishna as a playful God, and he's also exhibiting play in this context where he's with his friends sharing food.
Yeah.
One of the things that has worked is having those sort of playful moments at the dinner table.
Yeah.
Even reading joke book and...
Yeah, keeping the mood light, like party vibes. Yeah. It's so funny how somehow all the wisdom is in the Shastra. I've heard this scene from Krishna books so many times.
Yeah.
But literally what the science is telling us about helping kids have a good relationship with food and how you show up at the table and the mood at the table and play and all of that, we see it being exemplified with Krishna and his friends. That's interesting.
Yeah. I was mentioning one of the maybe tools that we might use to keeping things light. But I mean, when we talk about play, what are some of the other tools that you think we've collected that might be interesting other than
Yeah.
Mr. Llama.
Yeah, I've been working on building my play toolbox because I'm really trying to achieve one of those goals that we set at the beginning of the year in parenting in terms of like monitoring my own triggers and not acting on them. And I'm finding that having something playful in my toolbox as a first intervention when I'm facing like an uncooperative child can really help me not get into that mean yelling state. Mm. Just incorporating silliness more into the day just helps everything overall. So I can share a couple of things. I like to play something called Mama Monster. If I'm feeling frustrated and exhausted and tapped out, I feel like I'm starting to reach my max rather than unleash it in a way that could be negative, because it will be unleashed. That's the thing. It's like if you don't let that energy out, it's going to come out when somebody annoys you, most likely your child and or your husband. As you, but hey, so the idea is you just like turn into a monster playfully and just like start chasing your kids. I'll just be like, Mama Monster, and I'll just start stomping around and roaring. That physical activity of roaring and stomping and chasing, it helps to get out some of that tapped out energy. And then at the end of it,
but still playful, right?
It's playful. Yeah. And so they're laughing. They love this game.
Yeah.
It's helpful tool. Tooth brushing, which is often a very difficult, contentious time. Currently, there's like an elephant on Kishore's toothbrush. Mm. And so like I turn this elephant into this very confused guy that like doesn't know what sound to make. Mm. So I'll just start making random noises like, oh, I don't know what to say. Do I say oink, oink, oink? Do I say moo? I'll just try to be really goofy about it. And somehow that gets him to laugh and open his mouth and he starts correcting the elephant. This is a commonly suggested one, but I did try one time turning the toothbrush into magic wands where I try to program it and they can become whatever they want. They've grown wings and turned into superheroes and ninjas and whatever. Mm. For the morning routine, also getting kids to get dressed and get ready after breakfast. I found that transitions can be difficult going from A to B.
Yeah.
And that's where sometimes I feel the most frustrated because I'm like trying to get through the day. And that's where I face resistance and lack of cooperation. And so put play into there is helpful. So in the morning, since you've been going to work, I'm often solo by myself getting the kids breakfast and getting ready and showered and everything for the day. Instead of barking at them and trying to move them and carry them, and it was just not working, I turned into like a train. Mm. And so now every morning, the cha-cha choo-choo train arrives. I feel like I sound so silly saying all of this, but I'm telling you, it's magical and it works. So the cha-cha choo-choo train arrives, and then they just know. Even Naika, our little tiny 17-month-old, she'll start saying cha-cha choo-choo. She'll line up and she just knows it's time to go get ready without even me trying to force her. And then we do this silly cha-cha-cha choo-choo dance and we make different stops. We make a stop to get our clothes out at Kishore's room and make his bed. So the train like helps us get through all of the routine and we like dance our way around.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So those are some things that I've been using regularly.
Yeah. See, that's why you're so creative. And these things don't come to me so easily.
Yeah, these are not all my ideas. Like, I cannot take credit for all of them. I've listened to so many other amazing mothers, but these have been really helpful.
I was going to say that it sounded like there's maybe two types of play / playfulness here. There's like play that's more extended play. And then there's like playfulness, what you describe, these sort of short kind of interesting things that help move transitioning. And I think both are, you know, really useful for different situations.
Well, underlying it all is the relationship.
Yeah.
No matter what type of play, when you use play, you're communicating very strongly that my relationship with you is the most important thing, not what I'm trying to get you to do. That's why if you try to use play as an agenda, sometimes I do now. Like, I'll just try to do magic wand and he senses it. And Kishore's like, no, I don't want magic wand. You know, they just know and they don't want to do it because they know. They catch on really quickly. Like, oh, this is your trick, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think it's also important to keep that intention in mind. And then make sure that we're sprinkling play in, not just to solve our problems in life, literally just to play. Yeah. Huh. So let me ask you this. What is your one reflection from this whole our conversation?
Whether it's like difficult situations or transitions, the most powerful way to get through them is through reinforcing the relationship.
Yeah.
And try to avoid turning play into a tactic. You know, here's another thing I'm going to pull out of my pocket to make you do what I want.
Yeah.
If that is how play is being used, it will lose its effectiveness pretty fast.
Yeah. I love that.
What about you?
I was just reflecting on how there are so many internal obstacles that come up for me with regards to play. First of all, I feel so stupid and I feel so silly. Am I even parenting right if I'm being really goofy all the time? Is this really working? Also, as our son gets older and the stress of homeschooling, should we be doing more serious, like focused activities? But I think this whole experience is highlighting for me and what's out there really in the research about the power of play and how children, they learn so much faster through play. They learn basic foundational skills through play, from managing themselves and focus and self-regulation and processing the world and just like all these things. They can learn through play. Play is really that powerful. And not only is it powerful for them, but it can be so powerful for me as an adult to grow. Because in order to truly play with my kids, I feel like I've had to really work on my own mindfulness in some ways, being present and like putting my own image of myself aside. Like, oh, Gopika, you're this in your career, you've accomplished that. You kind of have to let it all down when you let loose and play with your kids. And so, yeah, just I hope that we as parents can continue to really protect and honor play in our home, making sure that our kids have protected downtime for play and making sure that we prioritize our own play with them and using play as a tool for cooperation as opposed to, you know, other things that eventually lead to frustration and yelling and all of that. I'm just grateful to be on this journey. Like, parenting never ceases to stop teaching you something.
Yeah.
So.
I agree.
All right.
Yeah.
This was fun. Thank you all for listening. We'd love to hear your reflections. Feel free to reach out and DM us and message us. It's our favorite part is hearing from you.
Yep.
So we will see you on the next episode. Hare Krishna, everyone.
Hare Krishna.